Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for songs that remind us and even encourage us of what we're going to be doing throughout all eternity without ever growing tired, weary, or bored. We will be around the throne, in the throne room, giving glory to you and to the Lamb who was slain to save all of us from our sin. We thank you that he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. We thank you, Lord, for birthing us into this new family, this kingdom, taking us out of darkness and bringing us into light, saving us not because of any works of righteousness which we have done, but only because of your mercy. Thank you for being a merciful God. And there are times we just don't understand what you're up to. But Lord, it's just another reminder that we are not you. You are God, and you are God all by yourself, and beside you there is no other. And may we never ever try to instruct you on what you do in terms of leading, running, and being sovereign over the universe. But I thank you that you make yourself known, you make yourself available, and now, Lord, I need you. I need you to preach the word, and your people need you to hear the word, and we all need you to do and live the word. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit who makes all these things possible. Keep having your way. Thank you, Lord, that burdens are already lifted, things are already lighter, joy has already come to give us strength because we've been in your presence. We thank you that the enemy is defeated today. We thank you that we are overcomers because Christ overcame. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb that firms up and gives us a testimony. We bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles in your lap or in your palm on your phone, turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 4, the New Testament book of chapter 3. Last week, I had a good time trying to encourage the men in a passage of scripture from the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus and the disciples got into a boat and crossed the Sea of Galilee in order to minister to a man who was full of demons. And when they got there, Jesus was able to cast out this legion of spirits. And this man who was once naked was now clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. And I asked you last week, where do you think Jesus got the clothes from to put on this naked man? Could it have been that he spoke the clothes into existence? He could have done that. Or is it possible that the 12 disciples who were there with Jesus took off pieces and portions of their clothing that day to give to their new brother in the faith in order to clothe his nakedness? I believe that's what happened, that they shared with this man. And we said last week that every man, including every woman, needs people in their lives to clothe them when they are feeling shameful and when they're feeling naked. And we're not talking necessarily physical, but we're talking spiritual shame and spiritual nakedness and aloneness, that we need people in the body of Christ to help clothe us when we're going through. That's why we need community. And not only that, we need to be ready to help clothe other people with words of encouragement, words of hope, words of strength, because life can be tough on all of us. And as I was thinking about that, it made me think of soul brother number one, Mr. James Brown. Back in the day, James Brown had what was known as a cover man. And this cover man, his name was Danny Ray. And when James got to a part in his concerts where he would sing the song, "Please, Please, Please," he would get down on his knees and start having a fit and Danny would come out from backstage carrying a robe, and he would cloak and cover James as he was down on the ground. He would cover him with that robe. But then James would throw the robe off and keep on singing, "Please, please, please." But in life, especially in the kingdom, we need cover men and cover women to help cover us when we're struggling. But above all, we have the Lord who covers us when we're saying, "Lord, please, please, please make a way out of no way." And he comes and covers us with encouragement, covers us with joy, faith, and hope. Now, it's great to be clothed by others. It's great when that happens. But as Christians, we still have a responsibility to clothe ourselves. I said it's great to be clothed by others, but we still have a responsibility to clothe ourselves because we don't want to become codependent Christians where we can only exist and function if you clothe me. That's not how it's supposed to work. That's a part of it, but God has set this thing up where we clothe and dress ourselves. In the book of Colossians, Paul says, and this is in the New International Version, he says, "Clothe yourselves," right there. "Clothe yourselves with what, Paul? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves." So let me talk today on the subject of put your clothes on. Put your clothes on today. Put your clothes on every day. Here's the main idea today. To put on our spiritual clothes, as we're going to see, is to make a conscious decision to put on spiritual virtues. Let me say that again. To put on spiritual clothes, as Paul is going to remind us, to put on these various virtues, to put them on is to make a conscious decision, an intentional effort to put on or to take up spiritual virtues in our lives. Virtues that God has put at our disposal by grace through faith in Jesus. Ephesians says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. But when we put these blessings on in the natural, that's when our lives begin to change and people see Jesus in us and through us. So let's put on our spiritual clothes. Because discipleship occurs when the word of God is put into practice. That's discipleship. When you hear the word and you do the word, that is a disciple, a student of the master. You just don't listen to get information. You're listening to get information that the information might change and transform your life. Jesus said in John 13 to his disciples, I believe it's verse 17, he says, "Happy are you." He said, "Now that you know these things, that's cool, but you're really," that's the Chris Williamson version, but "now that you know these things, that's cool, but when you do these things, that's when you become blessed and happy." It's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to know it and to do it. That is what discipleship is. Discipleship is not about rules. It's not rules that transform a Christian. It's a relationship with God that transforms a Christian. Fellowship with God is what leads to holiness in the life of a believer, not following rules or trying harder. So as we grow as disciples, again, it's not about rule keeping and laws. It's about intimacy with God, knowing God, and out of that overflow, there's a transformation that occurs first internally and it shows up externally. And according to the Apostle Paul, before we can put on these spiritual virtues, we've got to put off some fleshly vices. I like how Paul writes his letters because he's very, very practical. He can give us deep theological truths, but then he can break it down and talk about boxing and talk about running, talk about farming, very much like Jesus, teaching and preaching in practical ways that people can get it. And so before we talk about putting on these spiritual virtues, there are some spiritual and fleshly, rather, vices we need to take off. Now, go to chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 8. Read with me where he says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger." And that's not righteous anger, because there is a righteous anger. This is speaking of an unrighteous anger. Put that off. and put off wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So the old man is dead. It was crucified. The old you was crucified with Christ, but the flesh is still here. So since the old flesh, the old man was put to death, let's also put off these things that come with it, the anger, the malice, the wrath, all of that. And then he goes on to say, because there are two sides to sanctification, it's not only putting off, there's also putting on. And so he goes into verse 10, and have put on the new man. I'm a new person in Jesus now, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So he's going to launch into putting on. What we got to put on? He's going to give us five virtues to put on. As I'll say, that list is not exhaustive, but he's given us some. But before we get to that, what do I need to take off today? What do I need to crucify today? What do I need to be intentional about getting rid of in my life, putting off in my life, not only filthy words out of my mouth, but also lying to other people? Lord, help me today. This is real to walk with Jesus. You see, the church at Colossae was just like any other church. Paul had never been there. He's writing from prison. This is one of his prison epistles. And he had never been to this church, but there are people that he ministered to who was a part of that church, and the lead pastor may have come and visited him while he was in jail or had been locked up himself, but they're in Rome, and Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And although he had never been there, he knew what kind of issues were there, because these kind of issues are in every church, whether or not you've been there or not. Because wherever you have people, expect problems. Wherever you have masses, expect messes. Wherever you have Christians, expect conflicts. And wherever you have disciples, expect disappointments. We represent heaven in the church, but the church is not heaven. And sometimes we come to church thinking that church is going to be heaven. In other words, it's going to be perfect. No, the church is full of imperfect people on their way to heaven. And as a result of that, we've got to learn how to work through things amongst ourselves. So he says in verse 13, look at verse 13 of Colossians 3. He says, bearing with one another, because each of us can be a bear sometimes. So bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So in that church, he was encouraging them, y'all got to bear with each other. You have to forgive each other. You have to deal properly with your complaints. That's every church. So don't go around looking for a perfect church. It does not exist. But is the church dealing well with conflicts when they arise? Is the church dealing well with disappointments when they arise? They're going to come. It's how we deal with them that shows if we're a mature church or not. But we're not going to cover over it and act like these things don't happen. No, they happen. So I want to ask, is there anyone in Strong Tower right now that you're having to bear with? Is there anyone in Strong Tower that you have to forgive? Is there anyone in Strong Tower that you've got a complaint with? Is there someone that when you see in the parking lot, you turn the other way, you don't want to talk to them? God wants us to grow through that, okay? And let me flip this thing. Is there someone in Strong Tower that needs to be patient with you, that needs to forgive you, that has a complaint against you? A lot of times we always think it's the other person that we have a problem with. But in a church, there are people who have a problem with you, and there are people who have a problem with the pastor. The pastor doesn't have a problem with anybody. No, I'm lying. Anyway, help me, Holy Ghost. We're human. So we come to Colossians 3, verse 12. Paul says, therefore. And as Bible readers, we always ask, what is therefore, therefore? Why is it there? And he's kind of wrapping up what he said in the previous verses, where he's talking about our new spiritual position in Christ. He starts in chapter 3 talking about we've been raised with Christ, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, setting our minds on things above. He's talking about our new position that we have in Christ, that we've died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And he's talking about this new position, this spiritual position where we put on the new man. So therefore, based on your new spiritual position, you are expected to have a new spiritual practice. This position is what produces a righteous practice. Who you are shows up in how you live. You're a new person now, so you can't live the same old way. You're living a new way now because you've been regenerated and born from above, and it shows up down here below as you live and walk your life out for Jesus Christ. And so based on your new spiritual position, you are expected to have a new spiritual practice. So therefore, based on who you are now, let's go into the practicalities of your spiritual journey. He says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're holy, which means you've been set apart. Beloved, God loves you. You are precious in his sight. Then he says, put on tender mercies. Based on who you are, now let's live this out. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. Put it on. Get dressed. Oh my goodness. Paul, what's going on here? Well, in the Greek language in which the New Testament is written, these words put on are in the aorist imperative tense. The aorist imperative, what is that? It means do this and do this now. Put on these things and put them on now. It's a command. Point action. Do it. Don't pray about it. Be about it. Do it. Put these things on. All right, Paul, what am I putting on again? Because you're the same guy that said in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. I'm cool with all that fighting stuff. Now you're telling me to put on tender mercies? Hold up, time out. You're telling me to put on long suffering? Yes, we got to put on all of these virtues. Because here's the deal. When we put these things on, we're technically putting on Christ. Because all these things are reflections of who Jesus is. And technically, we're already clothed with Christ. We may talk about that next week. But putting it on is a way of me saying, let me reckon it to be so. That Jesus, let me have Christ's consciousness, a Christian mindset. Let me think about Jesus. Let me intentionally put these things on right here, right now, in my life. I need to put them on that I might live the way God's called me to live. I have to put these virtues on to help me overcome my fleshly vices. He talks about them as we read in verses 8 and 9. You can even go up to verses 5, 6, and 7 when he's talking about put to death the members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, all that stuff. I don't want to be dressed in that fleshly stuff. I want to be dressed in my spiritual garments. So let me follow this imperative and put these on. So Pastor Chris, how do we put them on, man? Because Paul says, just put them on. How do we put them on? Well, how did you put your clothes on this morning? Let's not go too deep. How do I put this stuff on, this meekness and this patience? How do I put that stuff on, the humility? How do I do it? Well, most of us, before we get dressed, we think about what we're going to wear. Can I come right where you live and where I live? Before we get dressed, we think about what we're going to put on. So before we go out into the world, we're going to think about what we're going to put on today. Because if we're not intentional to clothe ourselves in righteousness, we will naturally act out in ungodliness. And that's a contradiction for Christians, okay? We're not to live like that anymore. We live a new way because we're new people, but I got to be conscious and intentional to put these things on, to have the mind of Christ that I may be a spiritual person in an unspiritual world. So before you come to church, some of us, depending upon what kind of culture you grew up in, you knew what you were going to wear on Saturday night. And mama and them would say, lay out your Sunday clothes. But we don't want no excuses on Sunday morning. You talking about, I don't have anything to wear. That's why you make your mind up on Saturday. And if it's not clean, you wash it. And if it's wrinkled, you iron it. You prepare and you make sure the socks are there and everything matches up with your little Easter suit. You prepare on Saturday before you put it on Sunday. And so spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. I am going to dress today in a spiritual way to help me deal with what's going on. Let me say it another way. Have you ever been invited to an event that says this is after seven attire? Or you come to an event and they say to you that this is cocktail attire. This is black tie attire. Or you're coming to a wedding and you're thinking, what should I wear? Or the invitation says formal attire. Or you're going to a pool party. What do I wear? You're coming to church. You're going to work. You're going to a funeral. You're going to a football game. What do I put on? And you start thinking ahead of time what to put on and what to wear. I tell you what, and that's the same thing spiritually. Whenever you and I get dressed, it is a premeditated and intentional choice. So spiritually, we pray to God and say, Father, would you clothe me today in virtues that glorify you and reflect your son? God, I need you right now because I'm running low on patience. So let me clothe myself with patience. Help me, God. You see, when you were a baby, other folks had to dress you. But when you started growing up, you learned how to dress yourself. And so spiritually, a lot of us now, you ain't babies no more. Well, we got to keep dressing you. Learn to dress yourself and say, God, I think it was said earlier, you just can't say that's just the way I am. No, that's the way you used to be. No, Lord, clothe me today. It's intentional. Holy Spirit, help me. And Paul gives us five virtues to put on. And again, this list is not exhaustive in verse 12, but here they go. He says, put on, number one, tender mercies. Christian, put on tender mercies. The people at the church of Colossae, put on these tender mercies. Strong Tower, put them on. This word literally means compassion. If you have an NIV version and other versions, you'll see that word translated as compassion. And tender mercies or compassion means to have pity, to have sympathy and concern for the sufferings of others. So as Christians, we ought to be sympathetic. We ought to show concern when our brothers and sisters in particular are suffering. But there can be Christians who are cold-hearted when other Christians are suffering and going through, and they don't have compassion. Instead, they have consternation. They are uncompassionate. And that's, again, a contradiction of who we're supposed to be, because the Bible says that Jesus went out and looked upon the hills and saw the people. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion. And not only did he have the feeling, but the feeling led to action, as my son talked about during the offering. So it's just not a feeling, but it's a feeling that will lead to some kind of action to help the person that you have compassion towards. My, what would the church be like if folks were dressed in compassion? Not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. But then another virtue, he says, there's kindness. Put on kindness. This is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. This is something that comes from God as we yield, submit to the Holy Spirit. We are to be kind people. And to be kind means to be friendly. It means to be sweet, to be caring, to be pleasant, and to be considerate. But have you ever met a mean Christian? They need to get dressed and put on some kindness. How you say you know the Lord, who is kind to all of us, he's near to the brokenhearted, but you as mean as a snake? You got to get dressed. You got to put some clothes on. You got to be intentional. Lord, help me to be kind to your people. Because if you're not being kind to Christians, I know you're not being kind to unbelievers. Put your clothes on. Then he talks about humility. And to be humble is to have a modest view of yourself, your value, and your importance. Modest. The book of Romans says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. That's arrogance. But that doesn't mean you can't think high of yourself. You're made in the image of God. Man, God loves you. You are special. There's no one like you. So think highly of yourself, but not more highly than you ought to. Have a humble, sober understanding of who you are and the value that you bring to the kingdom of God and the things of God. And so when you're humble, you serve other people. When you put on the clothes of humility, you put other people before you. And like Jesus, who took his clothes off and put on a towel around his waist, he washed the feet of his disciples. So as the Holy Spirit's conforming us to the image of Jesus, we ought to be people who are clothed in humility, people who serve other people. Some of us, we haven't been dressed in that one in a long time. But today, let's put our clothes on. But then he says, meekness, which is another fruit of the Spirit. And to be meek is to be gentle. It is to have strength, but it's under control. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power, but you don't just use your power to hurt people and to bash people. You know how to keep your temper under wraps when you're meek. It's the power that you have, and it's under the control of the Spirit of God. And again, some of us fly off the handle so quick. It's like, man, we got to put on meekness today. It's not weakness. No, you have power, but it's under the control of God. Now, not long ago, my wife and I, we were over at 100 Oaks Shopping Center. I was going over there to K&G to try to get me some physical clothes to get dressed in. And we were waiting. It was packed that day because Vanderbilt Hospital is over there, one of their off-site places. And so the parking lot is just filled. And so we're riding around for a parking spot. And then we saw one. And we came up and we put our blinker on. Y'all know what that means, right? That's your spot. So as the car is pulling out, I saw another car approaching. See, I love Jesus, but I got a degree from Street University. And I said, I got a feeling they're going to try to take this spot from us. And my wife, very optimistic, she said, no, they're not going to do that. We've been here. They saw the blinker. That car pulled out. The other car pulled in. At that point, I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I sprung a leak. I was not meek with my power, my temper under control. My temper, I was boiling. I was starting to boil. And so I was like, I know they didn't just do that. So guess what your pastor did? I pulled up behind the car. And I just stayed there. My wife is like, honey. But she was a little hot, too. I ain't going to tell on her. She was a little hot, too. And I stayed there waiting for the person to open the car and come out just so I could see him and maybe say something to him. I don't know. But the longer they stayed in the car, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Like, okay, they going to come out. What you going to do, Christian? What you going to do, Pastor? But Lord, they took my space. Come on, man. Roll off and get another space. But in that moment, I wasn't meek. And I had to clothe myself with what I didn't want to be clothed in that moment, which was meekness. Oh, Lord. Somebody, I'm still not coming through. So let me bring you a superhero illustration here. In the movie Infinity War, when Thanos comes to Earth. Y'all seen the movie Infinity War. Thanos comes, and so he's got this spaceship that's shaped like a ring. And then they take off into space. And Spider-Man, he is holding on to the spaceship. And it keeps going higher and higher into space, which means Spider-Man is losing oxygen. And he can't breathe, and he can't hold on anymore. And he tells Iron Man, because Iron Man is saying, let go right now while you're still in the proper hemisphere. Let go. And Spider-Man's still holding on. And then he passes out. But Iron Man, he called back to his headquarters, loose pod number such and such, such. And so it came out of his headquarters. It was a pod coming towards Spider-Man. And it hit Spider-Man, and it clothed him with a whole new outfit, one that allowed him to breathe in space. I'm just here to let you know, when you're going through something and you're losing oxygen and you're struggling in the flesh and you're ready to you're ready to bless, you're struggling and Lord, I need need some help. He'll send help from heaven if you ask, and he'll clothe you with what you can't do in your own strength. He'll calm you down. He'll cool you off. He'll allow you to breathe right. But when you say, Lord, just help me, please, he'll help you. That's the real. That's how come I didn't catch a case that day. And then number five, over a parking spot. Why your pastor going to jail? Why your pastor making news today over a parking spot? For real, man? And then there's long suffering, which is another fruit of the Spirit, which means to be patient. Some versions call it that, patient, to be patient with other Christians in particular. Because Christians can get on your nerves to endure suffering for a long period of time, where sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. You got to pray for people. You confront people. You tell them things, and then you step back and leave room for the Holy Spirit. But you got to suffer long sometimes with people and personalities in the body of Christ. And I just want to know who's suffering long right now with the believer. The believer might be in your house that you're suffering long with. Might be married to that person, one of your kids, your parent. And you need to be clothed with long suffering. Well, in verse 14, as I hasten to my close here, here's what Paul says. But above all these things, what things? The tender mercies, the kindness, the humility, the meekness, the long suffering. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So after you ask God, Lord, help me put these things on today, Lord, help me, Lord. And then, Lord, give me the belt or the bond of love to hold it all together, because people are going to know that we're Christians by how we love other people. Lord, help me to love. And this is the word agape. And this word seeks a person's highest good based on a decision of your will. I'm going to do right by you. Even if I don't feel it, I'm going to do the right thing by you because I've made a commitment in my will to love you, even if I have to make sacrifices. Love holds it all together. Because if a church doesn't have love, it doesn't have anything. If a Christian doesn't have love, you're just talking, you're making noise. Lord, help me with your love. We need to put these virtues on because they are needed in the church, which is what we just read about. These virtues are needed in the home, which he starts talking about beginning at verse 18, going down into verse 21. He's talking about wives and husbands and fathers and children. We need to get clothed with these virtues so that we're not found naked and operating in our flesh naturally. Then we need these virtues because in verse 22, he talks about bondservants or the job. Lord, I need to be clothed, not just with a nice tie and suit and dress. I need to be clothed with the Spirit when I go to work because, God, it's tough out here. So we've got to be clothed. We've got to be dressed. Well, in 1837, there was a Danish author named Hans Christian Andersen who wrote a folk tale entitled The Emperor Has New Clothes. The emperor has new clothes. And this story is so popular, it's been translated into over 100 languages since 1837. Some of you have read it. And the tale is about an emperor who is obsessed with new and fancy clothes. And he lavishly spends state money buying these new clothes. But one day, two con men, posing as tailors, offered to supply the emperor with magnificent clothes that are invisible to incompetent people. Y'all dig it? Dude loves clothes. Con men picked up on it, says, we're going to come to the king, to the emperor, and we're going to tell him we can make him an invisible suit, or a suit, rather, that is so good that only people who are incompetent can't see it. So the gullible emperor hired them to make him these invisible clothes. And the fake tailors set up looms to pretend to go to work. So they're acting like they're spinning wool and fabric, but there's nothing there. Governing officials came and they observed the work of these tailors. But they're too afraid to say anything because they don't want to be called stupid. Because again, if you don't see these clothes, you are incompetent or foolish. So everybody keeps their mouths shut. And once the suit is quote unquote finished, the tailors, call the emperor in, who strips down to get fitted in the new clothes that he's told they're invisible, man. And only people that don't see these invisible clothes are incompetent people, man. Put these clothes on. So they begin to dress this emperor in invisible clothes. And he feels so hyped up that he leads a procession down the street in front of all the townspeople. And the townspeople are watching the emperor walk down the street in his drawers. But he's marching like he got on a wonderful suit. But nobody want to say nothing, because if I say something like I don't see the clothes, then that means I'm incompetent and I don't want to be like that. And he's walking and marching in his drawers until a child says, "How come the emperor don't have on no clothes?" A child spoke the truth. And the emperor, for the first time, he looked at himself and says, "Man, I don't have on any clothes." So he kept on walking anyway. Strong Tower, I stopped by here on this morning to let you know that, like the emperor, we have on our brand new invisible clothes. But the proof that our clothes are real is found in how we treat other people. Oh, you missed it. You missed it. I got on some invisible meekness. I got on some invisible humility. I got on some invisible patience today. And the proof that I'm dressed in these brand new made in heaven clothes shows up in how I treat other people. People can see our clothes when we live our clothes before them. Our clothes may be invisible, but they will be very visible when we live them out. In Strong Tower, I believe we have some of the best dressed people in all of Nashville. I bet if there was some kind of a poll, which church has the best dressed people in it, I think Strong Tower would be in the top 10. You see, some of us may wear Prada, but all of us wear patience. Some of us might wear Coach, but all of us are getting dressed every day with compassion. Some of us got some Gucci, but all of us got some goodness. Some of us got some Armani, but thank God we all got some Agape. Some of us got some Fendi, but all of us got some faithfulness. Y'all ought to be shouting. Some of us got some Calvin Klein. All of us got some kindness. At least I hope. Some of us got some Moncler, but all of us ought to have some meekness. Some of us got some Hugo Boss. But all of us should have some humility. And all of us might, or some of us might have some Versace. I don't, but we all ought to have some victory up in here. What are you clothed in? What are you dressed in? What are you intentionally putting on today? Saying, "God, help me today. Clothe me, God. Not only in my right mind, but clothe me with the right Christian virtues so that I can go out here and live in such a way that does not embarrass your name or the kingdom of God." Put your clothes on, Strong Tower. Get dressed, Strong Tower. Ask God to help you when somebody's on your last nerve. "Lord, I need that Spider-Man illustration. I need you to send me some patience right here." Whew, here I am. Thank you, God. Let me hold my mouth, Lord. Let's stand for prayer, y'all. I think next week we're going to talk about how we're all dressed. Those of us who know God, who've trusted Jesus, we're dressed in righteousness and what that means. Oh, man. Let's pray. God, thank you. We all need this because we forget many times to be intentional about taking up the things of God, putting on not only the armor, but these blessed spiritual virtues, so that we can live different, because we are different. We're not the same anymore. We have no excuse. So thank you for Paul having the boldness to speak to that church in Colossae, even though he had never been there, but he knew the nature of people, what we all need to get dressed with in the spiritual so that we can live for God well in the natural. Bless this church, Lord. Thank you for the kind people here. Thank you for the loving people, the meek people, the humble people, the patient people. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. And I pray for others, Lord, to join this number, that they may grow in grace as we're growing in grace. But there may be someone here today, Lord, they're not even dressed in the righteousness of Jesus. They don't have a relationship with you. They're not covered from their nakedness and shame. Whoever that person may be, Lord, I pray that they would pray the prayer of faith, the prayer that the thief on the cross prayed, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That they might pray the prayer of the man in the parable you told, Jesus, Lord, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. If you don't know Jesus, say, Lord, have mercy on me. I want to know you. I believe in you. I trust you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving on the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Trust Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. And for the rest of us, Lord, who do know you, we go out of this place clothed, covered with our clothes on in the kingdom, in the Spirit. Now unto him who is able to keep on doing exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. And it's according to the power of God that's working in us. Oh God, to you be all of the glory, the majesty, the dominion, the power, right now and even forevermore. We love you and we bless you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all got your clothes on? Y'all got your clothes on? Get dressed, Strong Tower. Amen. Have a good day, y'all.